The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I always say, we are the alpha male of radio, and we connect your brain to your brawn. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. They are not on the website visibly. Go out and download the two free ebooks, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, and our 30-day program. It is the first time we have put together conventional lifting with power rack training and sandbag work in the middle of the week. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Paul Firepower Gray on with us today. Just go out and look at all the things I've done with Paul. It's just incredible material. The last show we did about a month ago was called Success. And let me tell you, that show was not only downloaded heavily, that show was on fire, man, literally. And Paul and I have a very good rapport with one another, and I love having Paul on here. He's a gentleman, and that's what we want here. But then again, I'm sure he's like me when it's time not to be a gentleman. He is. But that's good. That's a man. That's how it's got to be. Also, too, I'm going to read something very quickly if I have the book handy. And I don't know if I do. Oh, yes, I am. I'm always prepared. It was just under another book. And I've been reading this constantly, and it's off Stones and Strength, Steve Jack and Peter Martin, the late Peter Martin. It's from the chapter 33, Sons of Sisyphus, and it's on page 107. This is from our good friend Steve Jack. I read this little verse every morning the minute I wake up, and I would suggest everybody else to do this. The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Think about that, because if you truly think about it, you're going to understand what that means and what you can do to accomplish big, big things. Now, before I bring Paul in, I'm going to give you a bio on this gentleman, and it goes like so. He is the owner and head trainer at Firepower Gym. He's a triathlon competitor and a semi-pro cyclist and an accomplished martial artist with over 30 years training in various styles. He's also a hell of a speaker, and he is a heck of a friend of the show. And Paul, welcome back, brother.
Hi, Eric. How are you, my friend?
Very good. And yourself, sir?
I'm good. I like that, what you just said about struggle. That was beautiful, man.
Thank you.
This is really awesome.
You know, we're going to get into more and more of this than we are, and I'm getting excellent feedback just on some of the excerpts. Now, Dr. Wong is on tomorrow, and we're going into to be honest with you, I really don't like pushing a lot of things unless I really know what they are. And we're going to get into a chapter from Jack Donovan, A Sky Without Eagles, Essays and Speeches. And tomorrow, Dr. Wong and I are going to do the chapter called Train for Honor. Now, the both of us have enough experience within us. We've done shows like that. I'm sure you and I can, all that. But we're going to read from some books, some chapters. And, you know, I'm even thinking down the road, I'm going to come to you and a few other people, and I really want to put together, even if it's five chapters, a chapter book where we would take what we believe and actually publicize our thinking. And that's something I'm working on right now, and just it's another side project while we get everything rolling. Paul and I are going to talk about My Mind is Beaten to Death. But before I go on, Paul, anything that I missed with your bio, please put it out there, your website, and we'll get started, sir.
Yeah, that's actually an old bio. I've kind of come a long way from that. I used to do martial arts quite a lot. I did it from the age of six through till kind of maybe a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And just with duties at the gym and coaching here, there, and everywhere and around the world now. I don't actively practice or teach. I only do it on special occasions now.
Okay.
I don't do triathlons anymore. Mainly, I train. I train about three times a day, and have spent a long time developing my own training systems to heal my own joint issues, my own injuries. So I've got an iFlows training system, which is purely for recovery and joint health. And kind of trying to shore up people's structure. I would say the best way to kind of describe that is it's purely from the standpoint of the fact that everybody is sedentary.
Yep.
So literally it enters in trying to undo that before we start pushing people for performance and anything else. That ilk. Then there's kind of another tier of it, which is about movement and teach people how to actually move through good motor patterns built on structure. And then we add in the tier three, which is stress, where we'll stress them with a tool of some description or some form of external load. So it's always with me, it's structure, movement, stressor is kind of the mantra. And that's more where I am now. That's
okay. All right. Well, when we get off the air, I'll give you my personal email address, and if you could just write up a short bio, because your show will be up by the weekend, and I'd like to have a new bio in, if you wouldn't mind. That'd be great.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay.
Not a problem.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about my mind is beaten to death or beat to death, and this is the concept I came up with. I was telling Paul off the air, as of late, again, I'm not a big news goer. I'm not a big radio listener. But obviously the atmosphere right now, especially in America, is very caustic. I would say very off balanced. A lot of people are engaged in one thing or another, and I see it all as a very negative concept. It's all right to have beliefs and be able to speak your mind, but now it's become where I see it flowing even through kids. And I think after a while, and you look at anybody that's a 20-year-old, 30-year-old, now we get up into our 40s and 50s, if you talk to the majority of people, which is what I do for a living, it's not very entertaining, number one, because they don't seem like they have any passion in the majority of them. They're very down and out. Nothing is ever right. Nothing is ever good enough. Someone has done something to me so I could never recover from it. And I got to tell you, as a guy that's coming from multiple things going on right now in his life where they're good, you can classify them as bad, you can classify them as failure, but I look at life so much different now with things that would be classified as that, and I said, hey, you know what? We're just going to learn something today, and we're going to make the best of it, and we're going to just keep shoveling forward, man. I mean, like a bulldozer. I don't know any other way to live now, and I don't think that I was ever that ilk, but like anybody, you can get caught up in crap, man. If you've got enough of that around you, it's going to become part of your life. So, we're going to go to Paul in one moment, but we're going to talk about this. I really would like to get in this deeply with Paul, because I know that he's been around enough of it, he's heard enough of it, seen enough of it, but like we always do here, Paul and I are going to offer you solutions. We're not going to beat you through the ground anymore, and we want your mind to become razor sharp, like that shard of glass, you know? If someone just tests it, they're going to get cut, literally. This is how I think that you need to proceed with the rest of your life. But Paul, agree, disagree with me. Whatever you feel, we'll start out on your end with, and we're just going to keep rolling, brother.
Yeah, Eric, I think there's a huge disconnect and people are disenchanted.
Yep.
And this is not just the US, man. I see it's coming to a head in the US.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what guys are feeling right now, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of reaching a crisis point.
Yep.
But it's everywhere. I do travel a lot now. I travel to Poland, to Norway. You know, I teach in the UK, Spain. Oh, man, it's everywhere. There is that attitude of apathy, that attitude of tiredness, that attitude of disconnect,
mm-hmm.
disenchantment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people have lost their purpose, have lost you know, the reason and the purpose for living. You know, you said at the beginning that the struggle itself is kind of what a man needs.
Yes.
Or what a person needs, if we want to be more politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't struggle.
No.
These days, everything is convenient. You know, we have convenient food. We have convenient remote controls for TVs. We have convenient travel. We're so disconnected from discomfort. You know, we live on the flat. We don't even have to walk over hills these days. We get up in a flat house and walk out on a flat drive and get into a car and go to a flat work or flat mall. You know, our brains are disconnected from any form of actual kind of mental or physical or emotional discomfort.
Yep.
We don't know what it is to struggle.
And then you know what, Paul? And then when we do struggle, we have to blame everyone. We have to keep saying life's unfair. You know, we have to keep looking at things in a manner where it excuses whatever's going on with us. And you know something? This is. I mean, I am very passionate about this, so I don't want to go off the rail here. But I'm going to tell you right now, what you and I and a lot of people do here that are associated with one another, we deal with heavy duty struggle, especially, you know, you have in your personal life big time. I have had a brother that I watched that year after year until Jimmy passed away. But I'm going to tell you right now, the people like us like to engage in hardship, like to engage in struggle, want you to throw the kitchen sink at us and see if we get hit. Can we get up even with a split head wide open? This is my main rub right now, and this comes mainly from me. I have done everything I can to make myself better and better every day. Do I always hit the mark? No, I don't. I'm a human being too, all right? I have things that I deal with, all right? But my whole consciousness here now, more than ever, is this. Especially when you have a pretty much close to a live radio show, is this. If I can't, and everybody associated with me can't give you something to hold on to possibly when you're like at that breaking point, then I'm not doing my job. And my responsibility not only is to shoulder more than ever on myself, but my ability to be able to convey the message like we're doing right now. Don't give up on yourself. Stop letting people get into your head. Stop letting everything come around you getting into you. And I understand totally what you're saying. This is epidemic now in the world. And I don't know if this has just been from the constant beating you're getting if you're involved with, you know, texting, internet, television, the people around you associate with. And I've got a little thing I'm putting together right now where I call it learn to disconnect for one day a week out of all this stuff. Because I'm telling you right now, you start doing that, you're not going to be so anxious first thing in the morning to run and listen to what's going on the radio. Because you and I both know, and I've been practicing a lot of this lately, and I want to get your opinion on this. If you know anything about what's going on with yourself and you really care enough to go out and research, the first 15 minutes of your day when you wake up is basically going to set the tone for your day. Now, if you're running and watching television or listening to negative news or you're going out on some external resource, I'm not going to give any of their names, but we know people go out to different things and put things up. They're not always so kind to one another. They have a tendency to insult people, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when you get up in the morning, why don't you listen to something that's inspirational? Why don't you listen to maybe a Les Brown or a Paul Stantese or you know, Think and Grow Rich, read that. Go out and look at things that are tried and true that have been examples. And I'm telling you right now, initially, it's going to bother you. In fact, when I started doing this years ago, I can remember, because there were many things in my head that I wanted to override. You'd start doing this stuff, reading and listening to stuff, because you want to listen to anything like that through good little headphones. You can do it off, you know, your phone, whatever you want to do, and really get it into your brain, engrave it. What I found after a while when I was doing it, my body was fighting back on me. my mind was coming back with all the negative things that were in my head. And I'll tell you, it's a scary thing because they start coming at you like a freight train nonstop. And you're going to say things to yourself and you're going to do things that you should not even be engaging in. But you know what that does? Eventually it flushes it right out of your head. And I can't remember how many times you would have to listen to something to basically override a negative action that you've put in your head. Because I don't care what anybody does or says to you, you're the one who lets it in. If you can understand those things, we can start getting rid of this stuff. And I'm not going to use the healing and all that stuff. What I'm saying is you got to go in there like Roto-Rooter, literally, and start ripping the roots right out. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, this kind of attitude permeates into your brain. And just a little bit on how that actually works for some of the people out there that may not know. This information comes from a friend of mine called Stephen Braybrook in the UK.
Yep.
And he very good understanding the brain and how the brain affects pain and what have you. But a very, very simple way to explain this is that your conscious programs your subconscious.
Yep.
And your subconscious only understands survival. Everything it does is from a point of view of survival. But let's just say that it doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. So whatever your conscious programs it, whatever it sees on the TV, whatever external stimulus it is, if you work in a stressful environment, your conscious is constantly drip feeding that stuff to your subconscious, and it eventually believes it.
Yeah.
So then whatever comes out of your subconscious, if negative's going in, negative's going to come out.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. So doing what you do by giving yourself a very, very positive, or what you perceive to be positive, kick first thing in the morning,
mm-hmm.
starts off that drip feed to your subconscious. And the more you do it, the more it's going to stick. The more you tell your subconscious that blue is blue, the more it believes that it's blue.
Yep.
Like we were discussing last time on the show.
Yep.
So this is imperative to the struggle. This is a struggle in itself. In order to free up your brain and to be able to see things clearly and to react to situations clearly, you have to have the correct messages coming from your subconscious to your conscious.
Absolutely.
Has to. We can't not. Otherwise, we just react to a stimulus negatively. You know the guy that we're driving along on the road and the guy comes along and he cuts us up in front of us?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you get that anger bubbling up and you're like, how dare he? You know, is his time any more precious than mine? And, you know, you flip him the finger.
Sure.
And he's waving his hand back and all of this. You know, that's coming from your subconscious because probably, you know, you've been in a very negative place, you're stressed because you've had an argument with somebody in your family, your boss has given you grief because you haven't done the work, all of this negative stuff, and then all of a sudden this guy is, you know, the pressure cooker outlet.
Yep.
You don't really hate this guy. But if you're in a very positive place, when he pulls in, what happens in your conscious is, meh, it's all good. Yeah. I don't care.
Yep.
He's 1 second ahead of me. It's going to make me 1 second later than I was. And, you know, who knows? This guy might not be thinking straight in front of me. Maybe he's, you know, had some crap going on in his life and he didn't even know I was there, or he didn't see me, or he's rushing to get to hospital because his wife's going to give birth. Or,
right.
You know, you different messages come out. You can take that step back and see the world from a different standpoint. And the problem right now is everybody is being drip-fed negativity.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, really, there's a lot of truth to your mind just beating to death. It's like a freight train out of control. And as I try to tell people, and they'll look at you funny, is you're the only one that can stop the train. It's you. It's you, yep, and only you. And see, here's another thing that, you know, has been going on for quite a while is, you know, let's talk personal responsibility. I mean, all you hear is excuses, why this one did this, why life isn't fair to me, I need justice, I need equal this, equal that. Well, you know what? In theory, a lot of it is probably has some truth to it. But when you walk out into that cold world, it's you. It's nice to help people, but Paul and I are both of that ilk. I wouldn't let anybody die on the vine, but there is going to be a point in your life where you are going to have to take over. And if you are not able or do not want to do that, well, you're going to have to suffer the consequences, and you don't need to be complaining to everybody how everyone's, you know, been unjust to you. That is the furthest thing from the truth. You're going to meet, Paul just said it, someone's going to cut you off. It's going to piss you off to no end. But you know something? I've said this multiple times. I've had people that were supposed to be on here said they were going to. They don't show up. All right? I have people that tell me they're so busy, and I hear them, and I'm like, if you knew what I was doing as one person, it would spin your head about 3,000 times in a full 360, all right? When I hear things like that, it's like that's the kind of stuff that gets me a little bit under the collar. But then I sit tight for a minute and think, and I've said this, and I want everybody to hear this, and open your ears up to this because it's very important, and this is what I've learned in 3 years of entrepreneurship. If you concentrate on what people do and what they think of you, and when they don't show up, and they're crying the blues that, you know, they're so busy, and that, and these are people that are highly thought of people. I mean, you talk to a lot of people off air, it's a little bit different than what the outer scheme is showing when you see them all over social media and stuff. That's your business. But here's my business, and this is the biggest point of the whole piece here. If you're worrying about all those things, you're not concentrating on your own business. When you do that, so, you know something? Nothing will ever happen to you if you don't let it in. All right. If you're going to worry about those things, you're going to be in big trouble. But here's the biggest thing I just said. What do you want to focus on? Is it the success of you, your business, all the people that work with you, work around you? Or is it going to be, well, they didn't show up and now the rest of my week is shot. Get rid of it. It used to bother me. I stopped doing it, Paul. And I got to tell you, I've been very, very, very successful since I've done that. But once again, these are things that take time to get rid of. That you got to learn. Unfortunately, well, it is fortunate. You're going to learn a lot of hard lessons along the way. But you know something? This is what's going to make you better than the next guy that's sitting there still smoking out his ears that, damn it, they did this to me. You suffer, the business suffers, your training suffers, and everything outside of that realm will suffer around you. Go ahead, Paul. Cheers.
Yeah, going back to the whole concept of struggle. Struggle itself is all a man needs. Yep. We've become so disconnected from any form of struggle or discomfort. I mean, people can't even be mentally uncomfortable these days. And I've just wrote this down while you were talking there. When you don't experience struggle, and that can be mental, emotional, and for us, it's physical all the time.
Absolutely.
We make ourselves physically struggle. We get ourselves uncomfortable. We choose to be there. You do it mentally as well.
Yep.
I do it. We read books that are going to challenge our beliefs. When you don't experience struggle, every little thing then becomes a struggle because you're not conditioned to being uncomfortable.
Yep.
So that's when these people are starting to lash out that, you know, they did this to me and they did that to me. It should roll off their back like water from a duck's back. All that crap should just bounce off their armor if they were in a place of balance and, you know, they were calm and they were relaxed and they were confident of themselves and they're doing the right thing in their life for the right reasons, you know, but they're not. They're so uncomfortable. They're so disconnected from any form of discomfort.
Yeah.
The minute discomfort presents in their life, it's like an alien concept. It's like a bullet to the head.
Yeah.
And they can't take it.
Well,
they can't take it. Wig out, man.
Well, let me ask you this, Paul. Both of us are engaged in some pretty hard time stuff, hardcore stuff, what we like to do. You know, I've come to the consensus kind of right now, and I found it with Dennis here is the thing. The more I don't like, these are all words are used a lot, but you know, we talk about stones here, the whole primal thing, and a lot of people at first would poo-poo a sandbag to start with and all that. But what I found with some people right now that I've trained and are training, they would never even think about doing stuff like this. And that's because, you know, in a gym atmosphere, if you go to a regular commercial gym, you know, you and I both know it's going to be some type of machine, or it's going to be, you know, we're going to run on a treadmill and watch TV for 2 hours, all things that are not going to do a damn thing for you. Let's be honest. And you're spending a lot of money. You're most likely getting a mediocre trainer that's going to maybe stick around with you for a week, and then you'll see them and they won't even know your name. Okay, so this is right now, and then we've got a big problem. So what I found right now, more and more, is when I start engaging people that never even thought about stuff like that, suddenly you're starting to see things change in them. Suddenly, lifting a 30-pound sandbag now is becoming more and more ingrained in them. And this is my personal opinion. I think with what you do, what I do, with everybody associated with this show, there are mechanisms in all of us. And we're just going to talk about men now. And I feel, especially in today's world, and a lot of men don't know where their place is, and I do that, and I do believe that's a lot of because they have been more or less told this is no longer a man's role, this is not what you do anymore, you don't need to be the leader, the breadwinner, the family, any of that stuff, all things that I do believe are part of being a man. I do believe, as my dad said, about leadership. And that's not saying your wife is and all that. I got all that. I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But what I'm saying right now, there's something in all of us. I don't care how big of a man you are, how athletic you are. All of us have this mechanism. And I don't know if I can put a word on it yet, that when we engage with certain things or certain things engage us, it brings whatever that is out of us. Now, and that could be the explosion of a kettlebell, of a stone, of all the work you do to bring your folks up to snuff, where then you engage them with something with iron or steel, okay? This is something I don't believe that's ever been examined. I do believe, and I'll tell you this, and I'm going to go right back to you. I'll tell you the two things. I've been saying this on the last three shows. I think we all have this in us. We don't have to be world's strongest man, the top martial arts guy in the world, but we all have this great potential in us, no matter whatever it is, and we all have so much to lend to one another. But here's what definitely made me come out. Totally. Jimmy having muscular dystrophy and passing away on us, and the Incredible Hulk. And I'm going to engage the two of them together right now. As a child, I was petrified to get that disease. And there was no way I was going to get it. But you go to your parents and they give you comfort with it. But still, when I read the first comic book of the Hulk, that eliminated that almost totally out of my mind and everything. I'll tell you how. When I saw this creature that was so big and so strong and nothing could hurt him, no matter what they did to him, I said, I have to have that. That was my cover for MD. That was my way of saying, all right, Eric, this is what you're going to engage in. This is going to keep you strong forever, and you're never going to be afraid of getting that disease. And this is why I'm saying, and I'm going to say this now over and over, that there is something within all of us that sooner or later it's going to set it off. And if it doesn't, I feel sorry for anybody who goes through life without it. Go ahead, Paul. I want whatever you got, brother, lay it out, because I know I put a lot down there.
Yeah, this whole thing about discomfort, I think, because we are missing in this world controlled discomfort.
Yep.
We have a low tolerance to it. So, to me, my job as a trainer is to make people uncomfortable. It's to take them out of their comfortable, sanitized world.
Yeah.
And mentally put them in a position where they're going to feel, experience physical, mental, and sometimes emotional discomfort, because that's how, as people, as humans, we grow and we build up the tolerance to it.
Yep.
Just like drinking alcohol. You know, the first time you take a drink, you take like half a bottle of some lager and it puts you on your back. You've got no tolerance for that.
Yep.
You know, then over time you build up the tolerance and you can take a little more and you can take a little more and you can take it. So my job is to make people mentally, physically, emotionally uncomfortable, give them correct, safe strategies from a place of caring.
Yep.
From a place of caring. I'm not trying to beat them into the ground. I'm trying to actually build them up.
Yep.
So that we drip feed their ability to tolerate discomfort. When you start doing that with people, you build them up so that external discomfort, like the boss at work trying to give them crap because they're 2 minutes late in the door, that kind of stuff just doesn't exist. It doesn't bother you. But when you live in a world that's completely sanitized from discomfort, you know, you never, ever in any way, shape or form get uncomfortable.
No.
Then every little thing's going to be uncomfortable. Every little bit of stress is going to push your buttons because you're not used to it. And this takes me back to a story. God, oh, this is one of my real old martial arts senseis told me the story of the butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard this before. I don't know, but a little old man with his grandkid goes to a park bench, and next to the park bench, the kid sees a chrysalis.
Yep.
And obviously, inside that chrysalis, it's been a caterpillar at some point, and then it's made its cocoon and its chrysalis. And you know, the kid's looking at it, and he sees this little chrysalis kind of wriggling around, and he can see something inside struggling. And the kid goes to pick up the chrysalis, and he goes to break it open. And the granddad says, "Well, no, you leave it." But granddad, it's struggling. It needs help. I want to help it get out. And the grandfather says, "Well, no, if you do that, it's going to die."
Mm-hmm.
Because it needs the struggle now, because what it's doing is it's wriggling around and it's pumping up its muscles. It's pumping blood into its wings, which are going to be the wings of a butterfly. And the more it wriggles, the more blood it pumps into its wings, and the more its wings expand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the expansion of the wings that eventually will burst the chrysalis. And it'll get out, and it'll be a beautiful butterfly, and it'll fly away, and it'll live its life. But if you help it now, then you're going to stop that process of struggle. You're going to stop the expansion of the wings. And it's going to die.
Yep.
Because it won't be able to fly. The bird will come and eat it.
Yeah, and that's really what we're going through here right now. We need to be able...
Man.
It is. And it's the only thing that's ever going to take your mind and bring it to where it needs to be. But we're going to have to take and basically you're going to go forward backwards because, right? And that's the only way you can do this. But here's what I want to, here's something I want to talk about right now, Paul. We already talked about struggle. Let's bring this down to any level we want with fitness, with anything we're doing. Let's give everybody out there a little bit. Now, if you are suffering from this, obviously, like most people, this is not going to be the 90-day progress where you're going to be all better. This is going to be years again of basically, getting out of the sanitized world, getting more – I want to say we really need to engage physically and mentally in things like you're saying that are going to – it's going to test you to your bloody limit, basically. Are you going to be able to take this? And before we get into this a little bit, you reminded me of discomfort when you said it a thing. Rocky Balboa, which was the last movie Stallone did, I believe, and it was 2006, which I think was one of the best ones he ever did. It was incredible. And going through all the struggles, he lost his wife, everything. He didn't have a good connect with his son, et cetera, et cetera. And I heard Sylvester Stallone on an interview prior to the movie coming out. And anybody that likes Rocky, I would encourage you to get that DVD. Or you can get it out on YouTube and listen to it. They were talking about things like discomfort. And, this guy came from nothing. And he said, at times he'll take a tennis ball and squeeze it till his hand explodes almost. And they're like, well, why would, you know, and this is the typical, you know, as they say in some Westerns, a daisy. And I say it as someone very soft, okay? Not understanding why anybody would ever push themselves like that. Because Stallone said, basically, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, you need to put yourself in situations that are very uncomfortable, paint yourself in a corner, and where are you going to come out from there? Words that need to be repeated. This is the stuff that I'm a big proponent of that should be taught in schools. We need to get kids physically engaged, mentally engaged, and I'm also a big proponent. I've said this on shows over and over. Besides learning how to read, write, and show respect, I also believe children should be taught finances from the time they can speak, listen, and hear, basically. Why? Because there's too much of this stuff out there where no one knows what the hell they're even doing anymore, and this confusion. I don't believe in the assembly line schools, especially like we have here in the U.S. A lot of it is just to take you, stick you in the workplace, and goodbye. This is why when Paul and myself and everybody else that is an entrepreneur, well, I'll speak for myself, stepped out of line, they're like, well, why would you want to do that? You make a lot of money in your job. Look at the benefits you got. You're going to be able to retire at 55. All that. I'm like, it's not for me. It probably never was for me, but it took me 20 plus years to figure out, okay, I've always loved what I do here. And this was even before Eminem came on the air. It was the training. It was teaching people. It was learning. It was the engagement. It was the struggle. It was the nights out there when I literally at times had tears rolling down my cheeks because I was so upset about not having a good night or failing miserably on something that I did a week ago and just going through these things that were like most people wouldn't even want to touch upon. I think it was the best stuff ever, and it still gets better and better. Nights I've said where I was like, I'm not ever lifting again. You know, I tell everybody I got a 95-foot driveway, I'd be halfway down, I'd already be thinking about the next one. You can't disengage the two. Either that is you and you are it, or you're nothing. Because when people tell me that you leave it in the gym, no, you don't. No, you don't. I might leave that stone on the ground, and I might leave that barbell off my shoulders, but that is in me as much as I am in it. And if you understand this, okay, no one's ever going to beat your brain to death again. Believe me, you're going to have days. You're going to have days like all of us. You're going to have days where maybe you're like, you know, enough's enough, but I got news for you. 2, 3, 5 minutes later, you're going to be ready to engage in it all over again. Paul, take it.
Yeah, I think going to what you said about Stallone and, you know, about him painting himself into a corner and giving himself physical, mental challenges. It kind of reminded me of that line from one of the Batman movies. I think it's the Christian Bale ones.
Yep.
And, Alfred says, why do we fall, Master Bruce?
Yes.
So we can learn to stand back up.
Yep.
You know, and there's a lot, that's a lesson in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Why do we challenge ourselves? So we can learn that when challenge comes, we can deal with it. We ain't going to break. We're not going to buckle under the pressure.
Yep.
You know, so then our tolerance to pressure gets so much better. And I just want people out there who are struggling mentally with handling this constant barrage of stress or what they perceive as stress, because really they're disconnected from actually the important things in life, maybe. You know, to think about maybe they should do the right thing for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in that car and that guy cuts you up, what's the right thing to do? What's the right reason to do the right thing?
Yep.
The right thing is just to get on with your day, because getting angry is just going to eat you up inside and set the precedence for the whole day. You know, the right reasons is because, you know, we don't want this guy to jump out of his car and come towards you and have some kind of silly altercation or whatever. It's just, people will do the wrong thing for the right reasons and the right thing for the wrong reasons, and every time that's going to turn around and bite you on the butt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
we have that choice on every given situation, and the more we get resilient to these stresses and these kind of triggers, because we used to be uncomfortable and we used to be mentally uncomfortable, the more tolerance we're going to have to this stuff, and the more the little things are just not going to bother us. But we also have the ability to step back and make the right decision.
Yep.
For the right reasons, you know, and you've already found your catalyst. You found your purpose in life. You stepped away from your career, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you decided that your purpose was to teach and help people and get this radio station, and everything from that point onward has given you a focus to your life that you never would have had previously. Is that correct?
That is totally correct, Paul. And I'll tell you one thing, and I'll get right to you, is this. Once you peel that layer off you that's been basically let yourself, you've said it before, you've made the choice to let it just hold you down, to shackle you right to the ground. One of the best things, I hate to say it, is going to be a major hardship that you're going to either rise or fall to. And then secondly, one of the biggest solutions is you need to engage physically to things. That alone, yeah, right there, you know, everybody wants to talk about, oh, I need to go on Prozac or I need some type of therapy. No, you don't. Not unless it's something very, very serious, and the majority of it I don't believe is real serious. You get out like I did the other day. We've had two major snowstorms here in the last week, and big ones, 12 inches or more. You know, I used to use my snowblower. I didn't even pull it out this year. Everything I did, shoveling by hand, 3 days in a row, I mean, big, heavy snow. And I trained the day after. And really, I mean, those are workouts. I mean, you're out over an hour in frigid cold doing that. It's nasty. But here's what I want to say to everybody. Even though I was tired out a little bit, I said, I still got to train. Today's my day to train. I went out there. I did dead stop heavy standing presses. Now, they weren't heavy to what I use usually, but I went from the middle of the eyelids, the eyebrow. I peeled off 300 dead stop overhead for multiple singles. Then I took the 300-pound Hoosa steel stone and walked it as far as I could through the snow, because I don't want to shovel too heavily out there because it becomes very slippery fast. So you're much safer and better to engage in even more resistance, and that was like right up to below my kneecaps. That's pretty nasty stuff. Now, and it was freezing, and the wind was blowing so bad that day, there was wind advisories too. I would say the maximum I walked the 300-pound stone, that stuff, maybe was 25 feet. That was my engagement there. I did that like three times. And it was brutal. You know, you're trying to lift something up that's like ice coated, the whole thing. But why did I do that? Because I felt I needed to engage myself in a way where, okay, we're going to do something that hasn't been around here for a while, mainly these heavy snowstorms, which I used to love to get out into and take it on with the stone. Now, what that did for me, now I'm going to be ready to go tomorrow night, because I gave myself, normally I'd go tonight, but I'm going to give myself another day. I feel mentally I would like to do that, and it's only going to make me better tomorrow night, because I'm installing two different styles of stone lifting I've never done before, where they're going to engage one another from one to one to one to one. It's going to be very interesting, because we are going to film that this weekend too with Dennis. But getting back to Paul in 1 second, this is, I want to clarify this totally. Do the things that, even if you've thought of them and aren't sure, go out and do them anyways. If you can only do one round of a 100-pound stone or a sandbag and walk it, fine. Because see, I don't measure a man on how many rounds or how much they're using. What I measure them on is, how did you engage with that object? What did that object tell you, and what did you tell it? If you take and do things like that on a consistent basis, I don't care if you got to lose weight, you want to put mass on, you want to be more enduring, more strength and endurance, et cetera, I guarantee you will be unstoppable. But until you decide to do that, and listen very carefully, until you decide to do that, you're going to be normal. Okay, Paul.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. All you did is chose to become incredibly cold, incredibly wet.
Yep.
Lift some heavy stuff, and you got uncomfortable, and you engaged and chose to struggle. I mean, that is almost alien to people these days.
Yep.
But everything else that day was simple, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing else was stressful that day. There was nothing going to compare to what you just did. And that's the point.
Yeah.
You know, a long time ago, we'd have to actually go out and cut, you know, piles of wood.
Yep.
Just to survive, to be able to keep warm. And that's physically hard going. You know, cutting wood's not easy. It's hard going. It's uncomfortable. It's stressful. It's struggle. But we would have a sense of accomplishment after doing it. We would feel awesome. We would feel, yeah, I've now created the ability to give heat to me and my family.
Yep.
That's the kind of connect we're missing, that training the way we do and doing and thinking the way we do gives us that back. So, you know, some people out there are not physically able to do what we do, but, you know, for a guy that's in a motorized scooter,
yep,
walking to the end of the street may be very uncomfortable for him. But if he can do it, that's his start.
Yes.
Get his butt off the scooter, walk to the end of the street.
Yeah.
Then the next day, walk a little bit further. Engage in the struggle. Don't be afraid to get uncomfortable. If you are in the gym on the treadmills with a crap trainer, that's somewhere to start at least.
Yep.
But as soon as you are tolerant of that training, move on to a better trainer.
Yeah.
Start lifting stones, climb a damn tree, chop some wood, come do kettlebells with me, do some movement work. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just struggle, just take it further, just move, just build up that tolerance, because everything else in your life is just going to become so simple.
Yeah.
It's just going to become so easy. And the stress of all this little crap just goes away.
Totally. Hey, I'll tell you one thing, Paul. The other day, because I was in and out of the garage, there was a light heater running just to keep everything, you know, at an average. I'll tell you this. When the wind blew, and whether I was walking or not, I would go out and stand right out in the middle of the driveway and let that snow whip right across my face. And people would say, "You're out of your mind." No, I'm not out of my mind. I'll tell you why. Because I'm engaging the world like that. That snow, that cold, that sullen sky that I'm looking up at, the earth right under my feet with all that snow soaking right through, and I had Converse All-Stars, so you can imagine how wet my feet were quick. All right, but I'm gonna say this quickly, and then I'll send it to Paul to summarize everything up. I'm never saying do things foolhardy. That's not what we're saying here at all. But what we are saying is, the body is so magnificent, the mind is so magnificent, and now instead of us being taught to engage it and become such a part of it and to keep clawing, keep struggling, man, to get to where you want to go finally, now we're being told, you know, safety, precautions. I mean, you know, if you watch anything at night or sporting stuff, which I do very little of, every commercial just about, or every other commercial, is about high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, impotency, you name it. Well, I'm telling you, this might not be the cure-all for everything, but it's pretty damn close. And all we are is engaged and indoctrinated with things like that. Believe me, if you are a consumer of that, if that's what you thirst for, I still wish you well. But if you want to come on board with us and really make a mark in your life, you are more than welcome, everyone. And I extend every invitation to every one of you, because you can talk to people like Paul. Whether you contact him directly, you contact me through the show, it'll go right to Paul. All right? So you've got the opportunity here. It's up to you. Paul, summarize anything you like. Give out your info. I'll give mine, and we'll set a show up for next month, my friend.
Yes, will do, Eric. I just want to finish off by saying that point when you stepped outside and it was cold and the snow is whipping across your face, I can guarantee, I bet 100% that was the point at which you felt most alive.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bang!
Bang!
You know,
yep.
Yeah, because one of my old Aikido senseis, who was a very, very old school kind of martial artist and ex-special forces, and had a very, very unique way of teaching us, which was to basically put us in about 2 hours of constant pain.
Oh, yeah.
Before he would start to kind of teach us anything technical, when we were too exhausted and beaten to be able to cheat technique with strength.
Yep.
The point to which we were, you know, sometimes bleeding or battered on the mat, or, you know, I would be so dehydrated, I would almost be nauseous and being sick or whatever. This is not something I advise, and certainly not something I do with my people, but one thing it did teach me, what he used to say is, you're not dead yet, you're in pain, and if you're in pain or discomfort, you're still alive.
Yeah.
And it's the point to which you are most alive today, this point here, when you are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
When you're in pain. And the degree of pain and discomfort is, you know, I'm not saying you've got to go out and stab yourself in the eye or some dumb thing like that, but you get my point.
Absolutely.
You know, that's that point where you are uncomfortable and you're engaging with the cold and the snow, climbing that tree and your arms are burning or whatever it is, you're out of breath. That's the point where you are most alive in any given day. And you got to search that out. You got to go find it. You got to go create those moments. They're going to be the moments you'll remember when you're older.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
not watching, you know, some dumb reality TV show. That's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gone tomorrow.
Yep. Create your own damn reality, man.
Get uncomfortable and learn to enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's life. Yeah. All right. All right, we're done here.
All right, Paul, give out all your info. I'll give mine, and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Will do. Okay, it's Paul Gray, or Paul Firepower Gray, creator of Firepower Gym and the iFlows Recovery Training System. I'm a head coach at Art of Functional Movement, along with my good friend and colleague Pavel Veduto, based in Norway. You can contact myself at www.firepowerfitness.co.uk. Or just find me on Facebook, Firepower Gym, or Paul Firepower Gray. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Obviously, go out there. You can download the two free ebooks. Also, too, go out to category/podcast and look at all the information out there. Also, too, I say this on every show, that anything you can donate to the show would be much appreciated. You can go out and donate on PayPal, Fiorello Barba, NICAP.R.com. That's one of the best places to get there. Also, Patreon. You can give as little as a dollar per show. We're going through a lot of struggle. We're building a ton of stuff. You're going to see some new stuff. I'm just waiting to hear from two people. Possibly that both pieces are going to be released next week, but they are beautifully done, and I thank Chris O'Neill for that. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. If there's a show you'd like Paul and I to do together, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Go out to Motivation Muscle and leave comments. We really want to hear your comments about everything, and we are engaging everybody as much as we can. But please keep the comments clean. We don't need any of that stuff. We really want to engage with all of you. Also, too, AHA Radio we're on. If you have the capability to get podcasting, you can go out. This is in your car, AHA. You can bring us right up. We're right in the directory, so you can have M&M on 24/7 in your car, too. And that's a heck of a way to be driving around, because I'm telling you right now, you want to talk about positive. And as Paul said during the show, if someone flips you off, you're not going to give a damn, period. You're going to keep rolling. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life forever. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift, bend it, break it, pull it, press it, Any squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We follow no one's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And also, too, the great Frank Klein, my greatest college professor for business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My father, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, keep smiling as he walked everyone to the door. I dare you to say those two words to yourself and not smile. Also, too, Russell Furr would always say, and he says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I hear your shows and listen to them, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. No one will ever clip our balls. And I got news for you. We are going to be around for a long, long time. Paul, what can I tell you? Thanks for a magnificent show. I look forward to next month and working down the road with you. It's a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Thank you, Eric. As always, it's my honor, my pleasure, and I hope in some way we could connect with somebody. We could make somebody's day better. We can give them the kick up the butt to go out and make their lives better. That's the point, right?
Yeah, and I do believe we do this because I know the feedback I get from people, and some of it would just it'll blow you away, literally, to know that, you know, people discount what they know. You'd be surprised. You might say a few things to somebody you think they're not important and change their whole life. So absolutely, that's what we're here for. As the great Les Brown says, you know, everyone has the potential to do great things. We all have greatness. But we'll take it a little further here. We got your back, and we believe in you. And I don't know many people that would put themselves out on a wire like that in today's world, but we aren't like the other people. I got news for you. So this is Eric Fiorello for Paul Gray, who will be on here next month. Go out and do something magnificent, ladies and gentlemen, because even though you might not think it, you all are magnificent, and we're counting on you to keep this big train rolling. Thanks, everyone, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.